Do you want the most stylish MMA apparel without paying ridiculous prices? Check out IntimidationClothing.com for great original styles of t-shirts, hoodies, and more. IntimidationClothing.com features affordable, premium quality products for men and women. Intimidation is one of the fastest growing MMA apparel companies in the world. Log on today at IntimidationClothing.com. Be the intimidator. Intimidation Clothing.
We're not Zuffa zombies. We're Cage Zombies. You're listening to Cage Zombies Radio with Matthew Gaithier and Spencer Kirksey.
Cage Zombies Radio. My name is Matthew, and with me is my co-host, Spencer.
Hey, Matthew, how's it going, man? Got a great episode ahead of us. Unfortunately, we lost a guest. Wasn't able to come on because of a conflict with work, but we still have a great episode for you, and I know Matthew and I are both excited.
Yes, indeed, absolutely. We're going to talk first with Andrea KGB Lee, who recently made her pro debut at GFA 27. Got a very different first-round victory there than I've ever heard of, and I think everybody there kind of wasn't sure what was taking place, but got a first-round victory there and made some pretty awesome news this week with the signing to Invicta Fighting Championship. So right off the bat, they've got her booked on Invicta FC 9, which is going to be November 1st. So talk to her a little bit about her bizarre debut win, and then also about her Invicta signing and upcoming Invicta fight with Shannon Sinn, who I believe we had got to interview her back in the Full Guard Fight Radio days. So, and then we're going to talk with Derek Maiman, getting ready for, or Meeman, I'm sorry, I think it's Meeman, getting ready for a big fight here at World Series of Fighting 14, fighting for the heavyweight strap, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, heavyweight championship against Smilino Rama. And Derek obviously coming in, you know, a three-time World Series of Fighting vet so far, 3-0 in the World Series cage. Made his debut at World Series of Fighting 5 where he knocked out Hollis Gracie Jr. And then, so we'll talk with him. And then, yeah, we were supposed to have Michael Williams out of the, your area up there, but just some conflicts with work aren't going to allow him to do the show tonight, so we will we should be having him on the show next week, though, no sweat. We'll be looking forward to getting Michael back on here with us because he's been a former guest here ways back, and he's definitely, you know, one of the most recognizable fighters out of Ohio, a guy that Spencer's a fan of, and, you know, Spencer's got the chance to see fight a couple of times, and one of probably without a doubt one of the most recognizable faces in all of MMA. So him and I think probably him and Colin Freak Show Fletcher are among the most recognizable faces in the sport. So we'll talk with Michael next week. Looks like probably tonight it's going to be Derek and Andrea. Hey, if anybody out there wants to join us, kind of fill some time in that third segment, we're more than willing to sit and talk and fit somebody in because that's what we do. You know, we definitely, if we got an open time slot, we want to be able to give everybody an opportunity, anybody who's out there. So otherwise, we'll rock it with Andrea. Derek, called a little bit of a short night, and then I guess that'll be a wrap. But real quick before we get rolling, give some shout-outs to our sponsors. BrawlBase.com, AL MMA, Valet Auto Auction, Crossroader Clothing, Intimidation Clothing, All Out Fight Shop, Game Changer Clothing, Persist Headwear, ProAmBelts.com, Jax Media Canada, and, of course, the Great Intimidation Clothing. I think I might have said them twice, but anyways. That's it. Our phenomenal team of sponsors, as always, looking for a mouth guard sponsor out there. Anybody, everybody, whoever wants to help us out, we love mouth guards, and we'd love a mouth guard sponsor. So, that's it, man. You got anything you want to cover in the intro? I know you got some stuff you got going on up there.
Yeah, for once, we actually have several fights coming up. Actually, in 2 weeks, we got NAAFS. Actually, a week and a half, I should say. It's not this Saturday. It's the following Saturday on October 4th. NAAFS Rock and Rumble 8. It's going to be taking place at the Canton Civic Center. This is a fight card that has 14 total fights on it, 7 amateur, 7 professional, and, man, the professional card is stacked. We got Bobby Brent, 14-4, versus John Hawk, who John Hawk is just a beast. He's fought around Ohio plenty of times. He's a, you're talking about recognizable faces, he's one of those. That's a heavyweight bout. Then Charles Stanford versus Cody Garbrandt. That's a bantamweight bout, and then a bantamweight title fight between Antonio Castillo Jr. and Brian Goldsby. Brian Goldsby out of Team Grigel, trains with Jorge Grigel, and then Antonio Castillo Jr. out of Midwest Training Center in Illinois, I believe. And, man, Antonio Castillo Jr., I've been able to see him fight. His fans are so loud. I think his fans were the loudest I've ever seen, but he backs it up. He comes out and he puts on a show. Former high school wrestler, I believe former college wrestler, too. And then in the main event, another title fight, featherweight title fight, former guest of Cage Zombies Radio, Cody Stevens. He's the one, if you remember, fought Shinya Aoki a while back. He's taking on Frank Carballo. That's the main event for the featherweight title. So two title fights on the line, 7 professional fights total. There's also those amateur prelims. I should note there is an amateur middleweight title on the line as well. So that's going to be a good fight card next week, October 4th, up in Canton, Ohio.
Right on. And this past Saturday, I was at Gracie Tampa Fight Night here in Tampa at the USF Sundome. And, wow, man, just a great night of fights. It was the debut event under that name, under that promotion. And just a great night. They matched some of Gracie Tampa's kind of young new fighters against fighters from around the state. It was kind of cool to see an event set up like that. You know, the Gracie Tampa family comprises of about 5 different MMA schools. They all fall under Hoist Gracie Black Belt. Rob Kahn, who's the owner and founder, and, you know, they just, I don't know how to say it, man. They just have such a great tight-knit family and a great group of people that comprise, you know, each of those schools that all come together for one hell of an event and one hell of a team there. You know, you've got Matt Arroyo's team at Gracie Tampa South. You've got Bamboo's team over at Gracie Tampa West. Midget's team over at Gracie Pack. You know, Robbie Denifario's team over at Gracie Brandon. And, of course, Gracie Tampa North under Rob Kahn. Great event. I got the results here. Let's run down them real quick. And then from that, we'll lead right into being live with Andrea. So the main event saw Chris Akins versus Eric Brazier for the 125-pound title. Akins wins that via mounted triangle. Pretty awesome finish. Dennis Diaz versus Mike Rivera. Rivera wins by TKO. Eddie Courtright versus John Pons. Courtright wins via knee bar. One of my favorite submissions to see and something that you hardly ever see in amateur MMA. Lucas Jones versus Ryan Rentas. Rentas wins via unanimous decision. Let me tell you, fight of the night was Mike Miller versus Drake Libby. Libby wins that by unanimous decision, but wow, what a fight between these two guys. Casey Rivera, one of my favorite guys to watch here on the local scene, versus Kenneth Sabino. Rivera wins that by rear naked choke. There was a no-gi super fight, submission-only super fight match between Matt Arroyo, head coach and owner of Gracie Tampa South, former Ultimate Fighter competitor and UFC vet, and wow, just an awesome super fight between him and the owner of Brazilian top team Jacksonville, Marcelo Salazar. Fight was ruled a draw due to the fact that it was a submission-only match. So amazing, amazing 10 minutes of jiu-jitsu by those two. Joel Crook versus Matt Serro. Crook wins via KO at first round. And just a few other fights there. Let me give a shout-out. Chris Emery making his debut fight out of Highlander MMA, and Emery wins out by armbar in the first over Ryan Ames. Just a great night of fights there at Gracie Tampa West. I believe the second event is going to be sometime, excuse me, in November. So Big shout out there. Look forward to that next event. And I believe that we are live with Andrea Lee. I'm sitting here blabbing on about this, and we got Andrea sitting here waiting on the phone. Welcome in the newest Invicta FC fighter. How are you, Andrea?
I'm doing good. Thank you very much.
Okay, first and foremost, how does one win a fight by TKO broken finger?
You know, it was freak. I don't want to say that it was an accident because, I mean, you know, I was trying to kick her, but you know, it just happened. She blocked. She had her hand open, and I just caught her finger at a weird angle, and you know, broke it in half. Crazy.
And the bone was literally hanging out of her skin, was it not?
Yes, it was. It was a pretty gruesome sight to see. You know, it was definitely not something that happens every day in MMA. it's definitely going to go down as something to talk about for a while. I mean, people around here are still talking about it. They just think that was crazy, and that it was pretty funny, actually.
Yeah,
not for her.
probably not exciting for her. I saw her face. She was in disbelief. You looked a little confused. I don't think you really knew what was happening, and I don't think anybody
yeah.
knew what was happening. But
everybody was like, "This kid call a timeout in MMA." They're like, "Keep fighting." But yeah,
well, I mean,
I was definitely confused at first.
But hey, you know, it's a TKO. It's a first round victory. You get out of that fight, kind of. You know, obviously, I think, you know, in hindsight now, you look at that and it's like, you know, probably couldn't have had a better debut. You know, you get an early first round finish, and in what, less than 2 months, you're strapped, you're ready to go for an Invicta FC fight. So I think that was probably the best thing that could have happened.
I think so too. You know, I mean, everything seems to happen for a reason. That was perfect setup for me. You know, I'm not injured in any kind of way, and I'm ready to go. I'm excited to get the fight for Invicta.
Now, when did you
I
get
was
the
actually
call
ready
Invicta?
To fight, you know. Do what?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I was already trying to find another fight, like, this weekend, but that fell through. You know, and now that I've signed with Invicta, that's the earliest fight that I'm going to have. But what were you saying?
I was going to say, you know, how did it go with Invicta? When did you get the call? Who did you talk to? And kind of just give us a rundown about how that all came into place.
They had been talking to us now for the past week, and my coach, manager / husband, you know, he does everything. He's been talking to Shannon Knapp and Julie Kedzie, and they've been going back and forth discussing stuff. And Julie was talking about how she was ready to make an offer. You know, they were just kind of worried about my whole XFC thing because I had signed with XFC, but because
right.
John Prisco stepped down, that kind of voided my contract, so that meant that I was up for grabs. And so they were ready to make an offer, but they didn't want to talk about it. You know, Donnie, he didn't want to talk about anything, you know, before my fight that I had coming up, you know. So they were like, well, we'll discuss everything after her fight, you know, when we all have a clear mind. And after my fight, they made an offer, and obviously we accepted it. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. Now I want to talk a little bit about like the combat sports like expo that you came out here for Orlando to do. I know you had a pretty big success out here with Black back in I think that was late July, early August or something. Tell me a little bit about how that went.
With Gladius?
I believe yeah. I'm drawing a blank on what it was called. I know you did like a 2 or 3 day competition or a 1 day or something out. It was out in Florida, if I'm not mistaken.
It was like
out in Orlando.
For Fighter Source, it was like the MMA tournament.
Yeah, there you go.
And yes, that it was a lot of fun, actually. You know, I had no idea it was like that they were making it like a reality show. I just, you know, I accepted the fight because I had been having trouble getting opponents, and they were talking about this MMA tournament that they were looking for somebody, and you know, they needed somebody on a team, so I ended up fighting for Nashville, and they flew me into New York, and I got a fight. But as soon as we got there, it was like cameras were everywhere, and they were interviewing everybody, and I'm just like, whoa, I was not expecting this. So it was pretty interesting, and it was a lot of fun. I met a lot of really nice people, and my opponent was really nice, too. After I won, you know, we got to talk, and, you know, New York was definitely not what I had expected it to be. I mean, I did expect to get a lot of looks because of my cowboy hat, which did happen. Everybody kind of looked at me like weird, but it was really pretty, and it was pretty up there, and everybody was pretty cool. So I enjoyed it. And then I got to meet Callie Cutler and Jim Gray, which I ended up getting to meet Amanda Bobby Cooper through them, and I got to train with them in Michigan out at SFS. And, you know, that was a lot of fun. So a lot of good stuff came from going on that trip. You know, it was definitely a memorable trip for me.
Now, you wrap up a beyond stellar amateur career, you know, and you wrapped it up in a major fashion. You know, you went go out, win a bunch of fights, and you competed, like, a lot in a very short amount of time to finish mm-hmm. that out, and then you go right into a fight as a pro over at GFA 27, and right, you know, before you know it, boom, you're already locked in and ready to go for your Invicta debut. I guess my question is, when do you rest?
You know, I ask the same thing. I mean, I don't really have a lot of downtime, obviously. It seems like the past year or two, I've just been constantly training and working towards my next fight. My coach, you know, Donnie, he, like I said, he is my husband. He pushes me hard every day, you know, and he wants me to be a world champion. And I want to be a world champion too. He schedules me fight after fight, you know, because he wants me to get the experience that I need to be a better professional fighter. And it was really hard for us to get MMA fights as an amateur. So that's why we started taking all of these Muay Thai fights and kickboxing matches and all these tournaments. We just started doing as much as we could because during the time that I couldn't find opponents to fight, you know, for MMA, you know, we decided to find something else that would at least keep me busy. And it gave me a lot of things. It gave me the opportunity to work on things that I needed to fix. So, you know, it is tiring, it's exhausting, but, you know, the champions are made in the gym, so what can I say? I have to keep training hard and fighting as much as I can if I want to be a champion one day, a world champion.
Now, did you get the chance to watch Invicta FC 8, and what were your thoughts on it?
I did get to watch it. I thought most of the fights were really good. I think that there's a lot of great talent in Invicta. I didn't get to really watch the main event. That's the one that I wanted to watch with Michelle Waters. It kind of froze up on me there at the end, so I was pretty bummed out about that. But other than that, all the other fights were really good. My opponent that I'm going to be fighting, she's making her Invicta debut as well, so I haven't seen her fight on Invicta yet. But I feel like it's going to be a good matchup.
Now,
sorry,
how does it feel
you didn't
knowing
even ask me that.
Do what? No, that's perfectly fine. I was going to ask off of that. How does it feel knowing you're going to be broadcasted? Your fight's going to be broadcasted live on UFC Fight Pass.
I'm excited about that. You know, I mean, it's a big deal, and you know, of course, there's more. You know, there's pressure because it's going to be broadcasted and there's going to be a lot of people watching, and I'm going to try not to let that get to me, but I'm super excited about that. I want to show people, I want to show the world, you know, that all of my training and hard work has paid off, and I'm hoping to impress everybody. I want to come out on top with this fight. I'm hoping I stop Shannon Sinn in the first round. That's my goal. But that's everybody's goal.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. I mean, and Shannon Sinn is somebody who followed a little bit, and I think that's an awesome first fight for you for Invicta. I think that's an awesome matchup by Invicta. You know, do you feel like with Invicta kind of being wide open right now? Obviously, they've had a bunch of ladies go to the UFC for this tough season. And actually, before I ask you that, have you been watching this tough season? And if so, kind of what are your thoughts on it?
Yes, I have been keeping up with it. I think, you know, it's turned out, I mean, I certainly wasn't expecting Tiesha Torres to lose in her first fight.
Same here.
I thought that, yeah, everybody I know was probably shocked by that. I really thought that she was going to win that fight. So, Randa Dick did great and did a great job. And I do think that she did win that fight, you know. I mean, I'm glad, you know, that the underdog, I like to pull for the underdog a lot. So, you know, I mean, I'm glad that Randa won, but, you know, I'm sorry for Tiesha Torres, too, because I like Tiesha Torres a lot. But I think that the show has actually turned out to be really good, and all the girls are really talented. Joanne Calderwood's my favorite, you know. I'm hoping, I want her to win. I'm picking her to win, but I don't know. We'll see. I guess we'll just, this last fight ended a little too soon, but
I think that Lisa, you know, I hated watching that because I like both of those ladies a lot, and I thought that there was going up to be a really good fight, but I just don't think that Lisa Ellis's heart was in it. I felt that way kind of the whole episode, that she just had her heart was at home, and I feel bad for her because I was really looking forward to seeing some good stuff for her after coming back after so long, and I hope to see still some awesome stuff from her, but yeah, I think that I just think that she wasn't in that fight, and I don't like to agree with Dana White, but I think that he was kind of right that she just wanted out of that fight.
I think so. You know, I think so, too. I mean, like you said, you know, you could tell that her heart wasn't with it, her heart was at home. You know, she's missing her baby, you know, and I understand. I mean, I think, she might even be ready to retire, you know. That probably made her decide that, you know, she just wants to be home and be a family, you know, be a mom, you know. But, I mean, who knows? She might come back, you know, you never know. I did notice that, you know, Kala Esparza, you know, she's kind of freaking out about, you know, she hasn't been in the cage in a while. A lot of the women, a lot of the ladies haven't fought, it seems like, recently, or, you know, and they're kind of, like, freaking out because I don't know if they're freaking out. They're kind of nervous because they haven't been in the cage in a while. You know, and to me, I feel like that's why if I'm not fighting, I'm going to be doing something. I feel like, you know, you should at least take some pro boxing matches, take some pro Muay Thai, some kickboxing, do something to stay active. You know, because I feel like even if you're, like, contracted to an MMA, in an MMA contract, like I am contracted to Invicta for MMA, but I could still take Muay Thai fights on other promotions because that's something totally different. So, I mean, if I have a lot of downtime, I will be staying busy and staying active because I don't want to forget what it feels like to be in the cage. You know, I don't want to have a freak out incident like some of these girls are. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, and I'm glad I brought up tough. You know, I obviously wanted to focus the interview on you, but I'm glad I brought that up because I'd love to hear what you have to say on that. And it's cool to know that you, obviously being such a busy fighter, having so much going on in your own career, that you do keep up with the sport, you pay attention to those, and you got a lot of great opinions on the sport too. So I'm glad I could pick your brain a little bit.
Well, thank you.
Now back to your fight though. with it being kind of right around the corner, what do? You jump right back into a fight camp? I mean, did you even kind of get out of the fight camp mindset, or where? How do you handle things being that you've already got a fight, you know, just about a month out?
Well, see, I never stop training, so I'm always in the gym. I'm always training, even after a fight. Like, I may take a day or two off, but that is about it. Actually, after this fight, I had Saturday. I fought on Friday, and I had Saturday off, and I was back in the gym on Sunday. And I've been training since. I haven't had a day off since. Monday will be my next day off. But, I just stay busy that way that I'm always prepared. You know, it's harder to get back into shape once you get out of shape. It's easy to get out of shape. It's hard to get back into shape. So I just try to stay in shape after all of my fights. You know, I just stay active. Stay training.
Right.
I think that's just the best thing to do.
Absolutely. Now, do you like to watch kind of film of your opponents, or do you train for every opponent as if they were the same person?
I do watch film on my opponents. I study them, and I study who they fought. And, you know, we we like to look at everything. You know, I'm going back to the even Shannon's amateur career. You know, I mean, I want to know who she fought, who she beat, what was their record, and who did they beat. I mean, like, we check everything. I mean, we go through to find out exactly, like, who's who, if she was fighting, like, any bums, if she fought, like, a bunch of, like, 0-2, 0-3, or 1-3, or, you know, I want to know exactly who she's been fighting and what style of fighter she's been fighting so that I could work on my game with her. But I hear that she's, like, she sees herself as a stand-up fighter, and so I think it's going to be a fun fight, you know. But I feel like I got it. I got the ground taken care of, too, so, I mean, if it goes to the ground, you know, I feel confident there. But yeah, I do study her, and I have studied her footage, too.
Yeah. Now, have you ever tried to fight with the cowboy hat on?
No, that wouldn't work. My hat would just fall off. Way
right
too
on.
Easily. It's not definitely not glued to my head. So.
Right on. Well, listen, Andrea, thank you so much for joining us. You know, when we had you on the show once before, and it was kind of like right around the time where you had actually, hold on. We have a listener question real quick for you.
Okay.
The listener said that they're asking, they're saying that, you know, a lot of people have said that Shannon Sinn could be probably the next big thing in MMA, and they want to know how you feel about that.
Well, I feel like we could all be the next big thing in MMA, but I don't feel very threatened by her. You know, I feel pretty confident about this fight. I'm not trying to talk badly about her in any kind of way whatsoever. I just feel like, you know, I might have the upper hand in this fight. I have more experience than she does, for sure. And, you know, I feel like I'm a lot stronger than her as well. But, you know, I mean, maybe she will be the next big thing, but who knows? I'm hoping to prove everybody wrong because I think I'm going to be the next big thing.
Right on. That's
but you
an
know
awesome
what?
Answer.
Also on Tapology, you know, they, not that that really matters, but I mean, the percentage of, not that it matters, but, you know, we have looked, you know, my coach has looked it up, you know, and on Tapology, it shows that everybody's expecting me to win.
Right on. Well, I guess we will see on November 1st.
We will see.
All right, well, before we let you go, I want to give you an opportunity to give a shout-out to your sponsors, coaches, and then where people can find you on social media.
Okay, awesome. Herbalife, I would like to thank all of my sponsors. Herbalife Nutrition, thank you for all of my supplements that you've helped me with. Cash Time, Larkin Development, Article 15 Clothing Apparel, Classic Stone, and for my gyms and my coaches, Karate Mafia, Donnie Aaron, and Elite Combat with Brent Mason. Also, if y'all want to contact me, I'm on Twitter at Andrea Lee Aaron, AndreaLeeAaron, and it's the same thing as from Instagram, Andrea Lee Aaron, and my Facebook page is Andrea KGB Lee. So please contact, you know, look me up and let my page, you know. I try to stay busy on everything. So, anyways, that's about it. So, thank you for having me on your show.
You got it, Andrea. You're welcome back anytime. You have yourself a wonderful evening, all right?
Thank you. You too. Take care.
No problem, Andrea. Yeah, take it easy. Bye. Andrea KGB Lee winning fights by breaking people's fingers, giving us you know, wonderfully politically correct answers and awesome interview. Glad we could pick her brain out. You know, I'm glad I questioned bringing up asking a question about Tough because, you know, like, I don't ever want a fighter to feel like trying to take away from, you know, their interview and stuff. But, you know, since she kind of mentioned it, I said, you know, let me ask her. And I'm glad I did because she obviously had a lot of really good insight and good opinions on it. Well, actually, after Derek's interview, I do want to break down last night's episode a little bit and talk about it. So as I'd like to do here every week, because this is by far the most invested I've been in Ultimate Fighter. Spencer's going to break down RFO, but I just got to say this, man. Derek Jeter with the walk-off freaking game-winning single hit his last at-bat in New York Stadium. That is epic, legendary sports stuff right there. But anyways, all right, RFO.
Matthew, I'm not a big baseball fan.
I'm not a baseball fan by any means either, but you can't help but sit back and respect a great sports moment. But anyways, yeah, I'm not a big baseball guy either.
I understand. I typically hate the Yankees, but Jeter's okay with me.
I absolutely hate the Yankees. 100% I hate them. But anyways, it's just all about the respect, man. Respect for a great athlete, no matter what the sport, no matter if it's freaking like tennis or badminton. Okay, maybe not badminton, but you know what I mean. Anyways, all right, RFO,
yeah.
Big guns.
Yeah, moving on to RFO, Big Guns 14. It's going to be taking place October 18th. I mentioned it last week on the show up in Mansfield, Ohio. Their usual spot up at the fairgrounds. I'm reading here it's Ohio's longest-running and most consistent promotion, one of Ohio's longest-running and most consistent promotions, that and IT Fight Series. But the main event is going to be featuring Mike Williams versus Mark Souser Jr. Mark Souser, former boxer, taking on Mike Williams, who we were supposed to have on tonight, but his job got in the way. And as Matthew said earlier, one of the most recognizable faces in all of MMA. That's because his face is tatted up, tattoos everywhere. He's a really cool dude. So, but, man, this co-main event, I think it's going to steal the show. Josh Longood, another guest of Cage Zombies Radio, is taking on Lloyd Thornton. Longood's making his pro debut, but, man, as an amateur, he just ran over people. And towards the end of his amateur career, I mean, he was dancing around like Anderson Silva and picking people apart. It was crazy. He's also a training partner of Cody Stevenson, who we mentioned earlier on the show. He's fighting at NAAFS. To round out the professional card, though, Raymond Yanez versus Charlie Gathers and Cody Gableman versus Darnell Pettis. That's the professional portion of RFO Big Guns 14. There's also going to be an amateur bout featuring Aaron Garrett, who we've also had on the show. He's actually a matchmaker for IT Fight Series, but he's deciding to get back in the cage. Bantamweight title fight's also going to be on the card with Aaron Neighbors versus Jeffrey Mack. And that about rounds out RFO Big Guns 14, taking place October 18th. I will be reporting live from that event, as I often do for RFO. It's a great promotion, so I'm excited for these fights.
Right on, man, right on. Let's play a quick song, and then by that time I think we'll come back and we'll be ready to go live with Derek. So let's play a quick song here. And loaded something up today, and there we go.
Be romantic, take you back now, you ever feel it? Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
Right on. And we are back live now with Derek Maimon getting ready for a big fight at World Series of Fighting 14. Derek, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
You got it, man. Absolute pleasure to have you. Now, you got a really awesome opportunity ahead of you here. Obviously, World Series of Fighting is doing some huge things, and they've announced some really major plans for 2015. But World Series of Fighting 14, right around the corner, and you're facing off the heavyweight championship fight. How are things going? How's fight camp been, and how are you feeling?
Man, I'm feeling great. I'm ready to go. I'm feeling stronger than ever. Fight camp has been amazing. You know, I just have been surrounding myself with amazing people. You know, Steve Carl, you guys just had him on a couple weeks ago or last week. And Otman Benjelani, he's this amazing kickboxer. My boy Brian, he's my strength conditioning coach. It's going amazing. So don't ask for better.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned something, or I was kind of looking at a few of your tweets here within the last week, and some very, very entertaining stuff there. You said something like, hey, you know, World Series of Fighting, let me save you some time and just mail me the strap now. Obviously feeling very confident. You're 3-0, you know, you're 3-0 in the World Series case, 6-0 in your last, I mean, you've been undefeated since May of 2012, so just over 2 years ago. So kind of talk about that confidence. You know, obviously you're feeling confident, you're ready for this fight. You know, how's that kind of played into getting to see some very entertaining tweets from you?
Yeah, man, it's just my confidence is through the roof. I'm just ready to rock, ready to put my fist in this kid's face and really beat him up. I just don't think he's ready for this yet. If anything, man, like I'm already the World Series of Fighting heavyweight champ, man. I'm the only guy in the organization at heavyweight that's went 3-0. I beat everybody they put in front of me. Knocked out Gracie. The other two dudes they put in front of me, I knocked them down, almost knocked them out. Pretty hard-headed dudes. And this kid I'm going to knock out. He's just not as hard-headed. And I'm just ready to put my fist in his face, like I said. You know, and those tweets, I'm just having some fun, you know. I'm trying to prod that kid into a little bit of it. All he does is favorite or retweet my stuff, whatever. I guess he has no emotion. It's all good.
Now, you've been able to fight for some awesome promotions, you know, in what's a short, I say young career. I mean, you're still very young, obviously still probably just hitting the prime of your career. And you've been fighting professionally since 2006. You fought for mainstream MMA. You fought for Bellator, Strikeforce. You fought for Fight Time down here in Florida. Actually, that's around my territory. World Extreme Fighting, and now obviously the World Series of Fighting. You know, you're on the verge of a heavyweight title there. Talk about that experience. You know, obviously getting a fight for some major promotions. Got a lot of great experience, and yet you're only not even 30 years old.
Yeah. Man, like, you know, I've just said, like, I feel like it's been a short career in my head, but I guess, you know, on paper it's kind of been a long career. And to be honest with you, I made some stupid mistakes early in my career that I probably shouldn't have, but that I've learned such great things from, you know what I mean? I just am so experienced from it, and I've gained so much knowledge from all my experience, you know, all my fights. Like, and fighting for Strikeforce was amazing. Zuffa just bought him out there. It's throwing huge shows. I got a fight in San Jose. The night that Cormier beat Barnett, man, that was an amazing experience. And Strikeforce really, them in particular, gave me, like, an insight into what professional fighting is all, you know what I mean, like at an elite stage. And, you know what I mean, after I lost my fight in Strikeforce and obviously wasn't brought over into UFC, I just, you know, it took a time to reevaluate my life and career, and it's been better ever since, so.
Now, we talked, as you mentioned, we talked to Steve Carl last week, and he was telling us about how he likes to travel to different gyms around the country, get a different feel for all the different styles, all the different training varieties. Are you like him in that way? Do you like to to go to the different gyms, experience all this, all that they can offer, or do you prefer to stay at just one gym for a training camp?
You know what? I'll travel a little bit for a gym if it's like the right training partners to somewhere. You know what I mean? Other than that, like, no, man, Steve's my best friend. He's a super awesome guy. Like, that's just his personality, dude. He likes to get out on the road. And he'll drive. It's nothing for him to drive 12 hours, train, and then turn around and drive back. Like, that's his mentality, I guess, dude. He's just a wild man. But no, like, you know what I mean? Like, I like staying around here. I got a kid. I got a wife. You know, it's hard for me to hit the road. So, you know, if anything, if I ever do get around to doing some training, I'm going to head back to ATT. And, you know what I mean? I miss them a lot. And can't wait to get back down there for sure. But other than that, no, I kind of just stick around here and train.
Now, you know, in this time here, before coming to the World Series of Fighting, obviously you had a couple local fights out of the Iowa area. Who contacted you? You know, how did the World Series of Fighting contract come about? What was your first impressions, you know, for World Series of Fighting 5, your first time stepping in the cage, and kind of translate that into now? You know, obviously fast forward to now, the time you spent with the promotion obviously put yourself in a very good position with the promotion. Just tell me a little bit about what it was like signing with them and then kind of your experience with them going into your fourth fight into the promotion.
Signing with World Series of Fighting kind of came out of the blue because all I was doing was I had, like, under certain circumstances, I moved back to Iowa, and I just started fighting, like, and I was talking to my manager, Mickey, from KO Dynasty, and when I got cut from Strikeforce, they were like, get some wins, well, we can do something, we'll bring you back, come to the UFC or whatever. So that was my initial goal, obviously. Like, you know, I'm going to win these fights. Well, after my third win, Mickey had just signed Elvis to World Series of Fighting, so I just jumped on that bandwagon, signed with them too. And it was surreal. Like, I knew signing with them, you know what I mean? I hadn't fought at elite level at heavyweight, you know? And I was signed to fight Hollis Gracie. So, you know, it was a win-win for me. I was getting brought in, you know what I mean, to, like, not sugarcoat anything. I was getting brought in to lose to Hollis Gracie and help build his career, you know, and make him a superstar in World Series of Fighting. Well, I like ruining plans, so that was super great. And then it's just been awesome ever since. You know what I mean? World Series of Fighting, you know, we've had our differences, our ups and downs, but, you know, they treat me really well. They keep me really, really busy, man. I fought 3 times this year so far, or this will be my 3rd time this year, so I can't complain. I just signed a 4-fight extension with them, so hopefully I have a good thing going. And they just said, what'd they say, 2015, they're doing the pay-per-view thing? I'm down for that.
Right on.
Actually, I'm down for that.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing huge things. I mean, it's remarkable, really. You know, in such a short career, you know, I watched World Series of Fighting 1, thinking, who are these people and where do they come from? But in such a short time, they've really put themselves on a major level, and I'm glad to see them having great success. I've been able to actually be at 3 of their shows. I was actually at your World Series of Fighting 8. Fight. I was there down in Hollywood. So getting to see a few of their shows live, experience them live, see what they're like, meet Ray Sefo, meet Ollie. It's really a great promotion run by some awesome people, and I'm glad to see some really cool things happen. I'm glad to see them really really stacking divisions. Now, you mentioned the move to heavyweight. Now, you had spent, you know, a good portion of your career, you fought at light heavyweight a bit. You even had a 190-pound catchweight fight. Tell me a little bit about the move to heavyweight. Why'd you decide to do that? And obviously, it's paid off for you.
Man, to me, it was a long time coming. Like, I talked about after my first fight in Strikeforce, I was talking to the coach at ATP about, you know, like, maybe moving up to heavyweight. You know, I had just a tough fight with Roy Jones in my Strikeforce fight, big gap from my head. And I was just like, man, let's put some weight on. Let's go to heavyweight. We got all this time. Strikeforce wasn't throwing a lot of shows at the time. You know what I mean? There was like that transition period when Zuffa bought them. And it just kind of never happened. Like, you know what I mean? I was sold out. Now I just stayed at 205. You got momentum going. So after I lost to Villante and I had to move to Iowa, I was like, well, there's no better time than now, you know? So I just got in the weight room, packed on some weight, and started fighting the heavyweight. And it's been working out really great ever since. So really happy I did it.
Yeah. I mean, heck, your debut fight at heavyweight there on the large scene was a nice first round finish, as you said, in a fight where it's quite possible you were probably being put in there to help his record, as you mentioned, and you go in and you're able to finish him.
For sure. There was no doubt I was brought in to lose. There was no doubt. Which makes it even that much more sweet, you know what I mean? So.
Absolutely, man. Now, as you begin to approach the fight here, we're, what, I think about two weeks out from the fight here to, the 11th. So how do you start to kind of narrow down on that last week of training? You know, a lot of fighters I've witnessed personally, the last week is kind of you kind of go easy, you kind of go smooth a little bit. You don't want to risk anything. How do you approach kind of those last few days before the fight takes place?
You know what? I kind of go the complete opposite. I still got, I got tomorrow and Saturday and then take Sunday off. And then I got a hard week ahead of me, man. Monday through Saturday is going to be just as brutal as this last week was. And it's going to be, there's going to be fine-tuning and things like that and probably not as much contact. But, physical exertion-wise, it's going to be just as hard as any other week, if not harder. And, we'll start tapering down next Sunday. And then that's real fight week, Not really do a whole lot until fight time and come in there super fresh, but coming, I like to push it real hard 2 weeks out. So,
now, what is going to be probably? Let's say you win the title. What's the first thing you do when you get back home? Do you take time off, or do you kind of go right back into things?
Man, I'm getting right back into it. My wife and I are buying a house, so we're going to be remodeling that, a fixer upper. Getting into that, taking some time off to get that done, I guess, but. Man, Steve will probably have a fight, so I'll be back in the gym for there, and I'll be ready to fight again, man. Like I told World Series of Fighting, I will fight every 3 months. And I mean, I'm 29 right now, not getting any younger, and a great part of my career, but now's the time to get all my fights in, I'll fight 3 or 4 months for sure.
What's your favorite thing? I mean, since you've been in this, been a pro fighter, being a guy that's very active, you're talking. 23 fights going on, a 24th fight. You're only 29 years old. What's your favorite thing from the sport that you've kind of taken from the sport so far? And when time comes down the road where you want to, hang things up and move on, what would you like to be the biggest takeaway that you got while being part of the sport?
Oh, man, just the memories, dude. It's I'm very blessed, man. I've been able to travel the world, see so many great things and people, been to California, been to Florida, trained in Florida, been to New Jersey, been to Vegas, cornered some guys in Russia, got to corner the world's strongest man in Poland. But the sport of MMA has just opened the world to me, literally, And it's just, such a great journey. Like, if it ended tomorrow or if it ends whenever, it's just, I'm so grateful for what it's all given me, And yeah. not to mention, the work ethic. Kind of coming from college wrestling and into fighting, it just gives you work ethic for the rest of your life and whatever career path you choose afterwards, So.
Yeah. Let me ask, who was a tougher opponent, Dave Huckabee or Scott Barrett?
Barrett. Hold on, I'm going to take that back. I'll take that back. Huckabee. I don't know, they're pretty equal. I'll tell you this, there are two super tough dudes, and this is going to sound, you're like, wow, this guy's pretty conceited, but I literally hit both those dudes with shots that I was like, holy shit, they're still not out. They're beasts, man. They are beasts. But yeah, they're both real tough dudes, man. Super tough, durable fighters.
Okay, so you can't pick yourself here. What do you think has the potential to be one of the most exciting fights on World Series of Fighting 14?
Chris Rodecki, he's always super fun to watch. I'm actually a little starstruck because I remember watching him in the WEC, and then when he first got in the UFC, and being able to be ahead of him on the card is pretty crazy to me. So I'm pretty excited to watch him fight.
Right on. Well, but listen, before we let you go, go ahead and give some shout outs to your sponsors, where people can find you on social media, and then any other shout outs that you want to give.
Yeah, you can just follow me at Derek Maimon on Twitter, Derek Maimon on Instagram. We need to get my boy Steve Carl a fight in World Series of Fighting ASAP. Let's get that fight done. That's my shout out. Let's get Steve Carl a fight.
Exactly.
Right on, man. Right on, Derek. Well, listen, Derek, thank you so much for joining us, man. You have yourself a great night. We'll look forward to seeing some awesome work from you at World Series of Fighting 14 here in just a couple weeks.
Cool. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem, dude. You have yourself a good night.
Bye.
Derek Maiman, folks. Derek, if I'm not mistaken, I lost my window. Hold on. Derek the Caveman Maiman. There we go. I was wondering. I passed by that earlier. So that's World Series of Fighting 14, and that is on October 11th, going back to Canada. So they need to come back to Florida, what they need to do. That fight card, you got Ryan Ford, Jake Shields in the main event. I'm not a Jake Shields fan, never have been, but definitely earned a lot of respect last night watching him deliver those flowers to Beck Rawlings after learning that her stepfather had passed away. That's a tough moment, man. I think that's probably got to be one of the toughest moments in the Ultimate Fighter house for any fighter, you know. And I think that I got a lot, you know, Dana was in a tough spot there where he's got to deliver that news, and I think that you could see it on his face that he didn't want to have to do that. He doesn't want to have to tell a fighter that they've had a family member pass away while they're kind of, you know, in this situation. They're in the midst of the season, and they can't really be there with their family and stuff. So I don't think Derek wanted to be the one to have to tell her, but I think it's very big of him to have set her down privately and told her. And I think that my feelings on Dana White are always wishy-washy, but it takes a lot for somebody to kind of have to sit down and, say that, to tell somebody that. So, World Series of Fighting 14, I want to see Ryan Ford win because I just don't like Jake Shields. But,
despite all that.
As a person, I got no issue with him. That's heads up. That's one hell of a thing to do for somebody as a person. No issue. But as a fighter, I just don't really care for that guy.
Hey, one of your other all-time favorite fighters is fighting this weekend, Dominick Cruz.
Dominick Cruz. Let's talk UFC 178 real quick, actually, because you know what? This is probably one of the biggest, most exciting cards that they've had in quite a while. Let's put it this way. I hope Dominick Cruz gets smashed. You know what's awesome? Dominick Cruz is on the prelims. That is awesome. Listen,
dude,
so is
Uriah Faber. I was talking to Bree the other day about it, and I told her the three most important spots on a fight card are the featured prelim, the first fight of the pay-per-view, and the main event. And I stand by that. I think those are the three most important fights.
All right, I hear you. I see you. I hear you. But, all right, so here's my thoughts on Dominick Cruz. Have I ever been a fan of his? No, because I watched something with him one time. First of all, I don't like the way he fights. But second of all, he said, my goal is to never get hit. Now, obviously, yes, as a fighter, you want to evade being hit. You want to be the one doing the hitting. But you're a fighter. Like, it's part of your job, your career, to get hits, take hits. If you don't ever take hits, how do you know how tough you are? And I just think that this guy sugarfoots his way in every fight. He dances around the cage in every fight. He lands enough shots to get the win, and I just think that's a really crappy way to win fights. I want to see a guy fight. I don't want to see a guy dance his way to victory like he's on, America's Got Talent or some crap. So I couldn't think of the dance one. What's the dance show? Dancing with the Stars or something. There you go. Dancing with the Stars, I think. There you go. But I just don't care for him. But with that aside, my personal feelings aside, this guy has been out of the sport for nearly 3 years. He has not fought since October of 2011. It will be, roughly 2 days short of 3 years since he's fought. Obviously, he was supposed to fight Burrell. The fight got canceled because he got ran injured or whatever. My point is, this sport is quickly evolving. If you miss time in this sport, the only way to know how good you really are and that you really can still compete is to be back out there. So we won't know if Dominick Cruz can keep up until he's out there. But I don't know. That's a long time to be out of sport. You know, look at BJ Penn. Of course, BJ, you know, you got a little bit of a different situation where BJ Penn was already kind of towards the end of his career, and Dominick Cruz is still very much in the prime of his career. But I just don't know, man. 3 years is a long time to be out.
Look, I agree with you. I agree with you on that. But I think this is a good warm-up match for him to get back in there. Takeo Mizugaki is no pushover, but I think they're being kind here. They definitely could have fed him to the top of the division, see if he's still up there, but they want to give him a fight to ease back into it. Now, is it going to be the easiest fight in the world? No, no fight in MMA is the easiest fight in the world. But this one, they're kind of trying to throw him a alley-oop there, and I think he's going to pretty much dominate this fight with your favorite footwork and avoiding punches. Probably a few takedowns in there. It'll be it'll be exciting, Matthew. It'll be exciting.
It'll be garbage. Other than that, though, on prelims, you got Jorge Masvidal versus James Krause. That's going to be a pretty solid fight. Patrick Cote, Stephen Thompson. Now, the main card, man, let me tell you something. I have been saying this to you know, people who know me, people I work, a couple of people I work with that are into MMA, and just when people ask me about Kat Zingano or ask me about who's going to beat Ronda Rousey, I am giving you my word. I'm saying that between Kat Zingano and Holly Holm, whoever gets to Ronda first will be the one to defeat her. Plain and simple. I believe strongly.
I think Zingano does pose a threat to Rousey. And then there's also Gina Carano on the other hand, but I want to talk about that in a second because there's some news about that. I want to address it. But this is a tough fight. Amanda Nunes, we're talking about layoff. Zingano's been out for a while. Amanda Nunes is on a roll, 2-0 in the UFC. She's a beast, so this will be interesting. If Kat Zingano does beat Nunes, I think she does deserve an immediate title shot afterwards. But once again, this is another fighter off of a layoff, and I think she's not getting the Dominic Cruz treatment. I think they're kind of giving her the top, the best out there besides Beth Correa. So we'll see how she does. And speaking of Holly Holm, I don't even think they have her signed to a fight yet.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, you know, it looked promising for a while that we might see Gina back in there, but with recent events, we'll get to that in a minute. Let's finish this fight card. I think Kat, obviously, this is a big fight as a return fight. Kat's obviously been out since April of last year with a major injury, surgery, if I'm not mistaken, where she had to have pretty major surgery on her leg, if I remember correctly. So this will be a first, you know, this is a big first fight back. Obviously, Amanda Nunes coming in on a 3-fight win streak, fighting out of MMA Masters down in Miami, actually. But I strongly believe in Kat Zingano, and I think that she is the her or Holly. And as you said, Holly's not, I don't think, inked to a fight quite yet, but I don't think that it'll take them long to get her a fight. And then maybe a fight or two before she faces Ronda, but I just think either one of these girls are just way too good. And no disrespect to Rousey, Ronda is probably one of the best in the sport. We have yet to see otherwise, and there's no reason to doubt that because she's finished everyone she's faced. But
you also have Cyborg, who's going to be making her return to bantamweight at Invicta, I believe, later this year, Invicta FC 10 most likely. So there's that, too. So that might be a sign that if she wins that, she'll get signed to the UFC. But who knows? There's always these Holly Holmes, they did finally sign. But then there's, like we mentioned, we have Cyborg and then Carano. So you never know.
Indeed, you do. You don't. But anyway, so the rest of this fight card, obviously that's a big fight, though, to open the main card, Kat Zingano versus Amanda Nunes. We'll talk. I'm going to save the fight that I think I'm most anticipation. I think the most anticipated fight on this is three fights from the main event, obviously, honestly. But
yep.
Anyways, main event, Demetrius Johnson versus Chris Carriasso. Carriasso got a little bit of a hiccup. I think Mighty Mouse takes care of business without any problem there. Donald Cerrone, Eddie Alvarez. I want to see Eddie Alvarez just freaking lay Donald Cerrone out. Tim Kennedy, Yoel Romero. I think Kennedy wins that. And then the fight I think is probably the fight on this card is Dustin Poirier versus Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor thinks that there's, as he has said, not a man alive that could beat him. Now, I disagree with that. I think Jim Ehlers would beat him. But Jim Ehlers is not facing him at this point in time, so let's talk Dustin Poirier versus Conor. I think Conor has a very strong chance in this fight. But I would love to see Dustin Poirier just straight lay him out.
Dude, I don't think Conor McGregor is as good as people think. He has a huge hype train behind him, and I just don't believe it. and he's asking for a title shot off of this? No, I don't think he deserves one. If he wins, he can get the Korean Zombie in South Korea next year because they announced they're going to have an event there. Then we'll see if he gets a title shot. But no, a win over Dustin Poirier doesn't get you a title shot, and I don't even think he's going to beat Dustin Poirier. And like you said, Jim Ehlers, I think Jim Ehlers would whoop his ass too. So, yes, I agree with you. This is the most exciting fight on this main card, or on the full card. And they've really built it up, McGregor mostly. But I think Poirier wins it. I'm going to go out on the limb here and say Poirier wins it.
I think the UFC, I think Dana and the UFC are driving that hype train, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, he's representing a nation. I mean, they really stand behind him. So, I think he's a bad fighter? No, he's really talented. He's proven that. But I don't think he's as good as people are making him out to be. He's not the
savior of the
division.
He's not as good as he's making himself out to be. That's the thing. I think Dana's in the driver's seat, and Connor's riding shotgun on that hype train because he is his own hype train, and he is good, no doubt about that. But is he as good as he's saying he thinks he is? I don't believe so. And then I think this is by far his toughest fight to date. If I'm not mistaken, his debut fight for the UFC was one where he stepped up on a very short notice. They pulled him up to fill a spot or something like that. And he got a great fight. You know, he won a great fight, early stoppage against Marcus Brimage. And kudos to that. No disrespect there, but I think that he got a lucky chance to debut in the UFC. He had a great first round finish in his debut, and from there he's been rolling. He's had some great fights, but I think that Dustin Poirier by far is going to be his biggest challenge to date in the octagon.
Yeah, I want to say I think McGregor. It sounds like I'm just hating on this guy. No, it just really bothers me how much hype he gets. I think he does belong at the top of this division, the featherweight division. He belongs up there, and maybe the top, let's say, 6 or 7. But I don't think if he does get past Poirier, I don't think he could beat Jose Aldo. I don't think he could beat Chad Mendez. If Uriah Faber comes back to this division, I don't think he can beat Faber. There's plenty of Frankie Edgar. I don't think he could get past Edgar.
I think he could beat Faber. I don't care for Faber. But anyways,
well,
I think he could probably beat Faber. But
maybe that's a fight that'll develop after this. That'd be funny maker.
Here's what's important. Here's the big question though. Like, and I think you mentioned this, but okay. So, let's say he beats Poirier. Let's say after that they give him Korean Zombie, right? He faces Korean Zombie. He beats Korean Zombie. Do you think McGregor seriously has a chance against Jose Aldo?
Well, first off, one, I will eat my words and say he belongs in that title fight. If he beats Poirier up and if he beats the Korean Zombie, even if it's by split decision, I don't care. I will say, yes, I was wrong. This guy does have hype behind him, and it was justifiably so. Does he have a chance against Jose Aldo? No, I think standing up, Aldo's just going to destroy his legs and pick him apart. He's almost like a gatekeeper, but not quite there yet. He's still working his way up to his highest potential, and then once he gets there, then he'll be that gatekeeper.
Right. I just think that, Jose Aldo is on kind of in his own conversation right now, and people have said many times, is this the time that he loses? Is this the person that beats him? But they have put everybody in front of Aldo, and he has gotten through them all. Obviously, his most recent fight coming against Ricardo Lamas, which was a decision victory, but before that, you've got him TKOing Korean Zombie. He KO'd Chad Mendez, and, I know Mendez, there was supposed to be a rematch. I think there's still supposed to be. I think it had to be delayed there for a while or something like that. But let's be honest, man. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like, and Mendez was arguing for the rematch and all, saying this and that, but there's not a more convincing way to beat somebody than the way that Aldo beat Mendez.
Oh, yeah.
So,
he's
faced everybody, He's beat Mike Brown. He's beat Cub Swanson. He's beat Kenny Florian, Mendez, Edgar, Korean Zombie, Lamas, Faber. He's beat pretty much everybody that they've put there. And it's like, why does Conor McGregor think that he is ready for a title fight already? I mean, as you said, if he beats Poirier, if he beats Korean Zombie, then okay, then it's deserving. But I just think that, to get back to the McGregor point, I think that he's just a little bit ahead of himself.
Well, you make a great point, and Aldo has cleared out the top of that division. That makes me think, well, maybe McGregor's right for calling for a title shot. This is the day and age in the UFC where if you whine enough, you'll get that title shot if you have a few wins under your belt. So maybe if he does beat Poirier, Dana White says, hey, this guy has a lot of people that are paying attention to him. He has a few good wins. He's exciting, so let's give him that shot. So you never know. Maybe he will fight Aldo after this, if Aldo gets past Mendez, which I think he will pretty easily.
Yeah. All right, so that's it for UFC. Let's run down Bellator real quick, and then I guess we'll call it a night. Oh, wait. Palavan Promotions Amateur Fight Night 23 going down in St. Petersburg, Florida this Saturday. Won't be able to get out to that fight card, unfortunately. It is my mother's birthday tomorrow night, so the family and I will be going out to dinner sometime Saturday evening. But I want to wish them a phenomenal event. Palavan Promotions puts together a very nice mixture of amateur MMA, kickboxing, Muay Thai. It's always a fun night out there. There's usually anywhere from 15 to 20 fights on the card, and you see a very awesome mixture of those awesome sports. So that's actually going down. They changed venues, so let me search this real quick. I want to say it's the Marriott in North St. Pete. They recently switched venues. Here we go. I got it right here in front of me. Boom, 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 boom. Do, 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 do. Yeah, okay, so Amateur Fight Night 23, Saturday. Doors are opening about 5 p.m. It's going to be at the Marriott in North St. Petersburg, right. So that's run by Ali Tara and Fight Fitness Center out of St. Pete. Ali's actually a pro boxer. He's getting ready for a fight, if I'm not mistaken, here in a couple weeks. But he runs the school Fight Fitness Center, and he runs Palavan Fight Promotions. And it's going to be a really awesome mixture, like I said, Muay Thai, kickboxing, MMA. It's going to be a great night of fight. So get out there, check that out. And that's what we got here in Tampa this weekend. I know Spencer, you got something real quick, so go for it.
Before we get to Bellator, I just wanted to mention Titan Fighting Championship 30 is also on tomorrow. That's going to be on CBS Sports Network, and one of our former guests. It makes me feel good, Matthew, to say all these former guests fighting on these big shows. We've got a ton of people on Cage Zombies Radio. But Anthony Sharkbait Gutierrez is taking on YL Watson. That's the co-main event. Main event's featuring two UFC veterans, Jason Brills versus Vinny Magalhães, for the inaugural middleweight title. So that'll be a pretty decent fight card. And then there's also Bellator, which Matthew's going to get to.
Yeah, actually, I want to say real quick, speaking of guests, our guest last week, Cam Taylor, actually went out and got himself a first-round submission victory at Absolute Fighting Championships 22, so congrats to Cam. Him and his teammate, Kit, they call him Kitty Cat, they both got first-round submission finishes, so congrats to both of those guys. Fighting out of Team Bamboo, as I was mentioning earlier in the show, man. Team Bamboo is one of the most active teams down here in Tampa, and it continues to show. Also, shout out Conflict MMA, which is taking place in Macon, Georgia, Saturday, I believe. Hold on, I got it here in front of me too. Conflict MMA 20 going down in Macon, Georgia, at the Macon City Auditorium. Tampa's very own Alon Cruz out of Team Darkside, Defiant Warrior. He's fighting on that card against Josh Millwood. Had an opportunity to talk with Josh Millwood a little bit a while back. Did an article about him. Spoke with his manager and friend Derek Morris a little bit. So that ought to be an extremely good fight. Having get to know a little bit about Josh. Josh has really battled a tough road to get where he's at. And I just I wish him the best going into this fight, as well as I do Alon. Alon is a guy I consider a friend, a guy I know real well. And I'm not picking a side here. I just want to see a great fight from. I won't be able to see it. I want to hear about a great fight from both of these gentlemen, and just wish them the best. And Conflict MMA 20 as well. So, give me one more minute because I think that we have. couple other things. I want to give just shout-outs real quick. Let's see. Epic Fighting 26 taking place this weekend tomorrow night, actually, out in San Diego, California. XFC International 6, the opener of Season 2, goes down this Saturday down in Brazil. So that's another big one there. Saturday night, Fight Night, Strike Gym, Coconut Creek. That's the Fight Time Promotions Amateur Fight Night. So it's another big one. I think it's about it. I think that rounds it out. So, yeah, real quick, we'll run down Bellator, and then we'll call it a night, I guess. Last week, Bellator 125 took place. Main event, Melvin Manhoff, probably one of the last living legends that's still active in MMA, versus Doug Marshall. Melvin gets a first-round KO. I had not had the chance to see it. I hate to say that, but I saw a clip of it, and just wow. Absolutely wow.
It was over as soon as it started, man. Doug Marshall looked uncomfortable as soon as Manhoef started throwing some heavy kicks. And then Manhoef just caught him right behind the ear, and he didn't even have to follow up. Doug Marshall face planted. And you know how much I love Doug Marshall, so that was just awesome for me.
That's his second straight KO loss there for Doug Marshall. So he needs to figure something out, keep his hands up. Co-main event, Rafael Carvalho versus Brian Rodgers. Carvalho TKOs Brian about halfway through the first round. Other than that, tomorrow night, Bellator 126. Main event, you got what? Patricky Pitbull. His brother just won the lightweight title from Pat Curran, what, a couple weeks back, and now... Now Patricky's fighting. You know, these guys are confusing. They both go by the name Pitbull, and you know what? That's just too much to try and keep up with. Why can't they be like Shogun and Gorilla? You know, pick different names so we can differentiate you two. But anyways, so he's fighting tomorrow night versus Marcin Held. Main events, Alexander Shlemenko versus Brandon Halsey. Mike Richmond versus Ed West. Thiago Miller versus Bubba Jenkins. That's going to round out the main event down there at Bellator 126. What is that? That's Phoenix, Arizona. I should have known that. Cupman Matt earlier on Facebook talking about how he got to Arizona and realized he forgot his sunglasses at home. So, anyways, that's another good one, another good card from Bellator. And last, before we wrap up, because I almost forgot this, but I absolutely wanted to do this, just want to run down The Ultimate Fighter Episode 3 last night. Before I start, have you had the chance to see it?
No, not yet. I've heard about it. I saw the results.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I didn't spoil the result for you. I wanted to make sure I wasn't going to spoil the result for you. If you already know the result, then I'll just go ahead and run it down real quick.
Fine with me, man.
So Episode 3, obviously Jessica Penny versus Lisa Ellis. The episode itself, I thought you got to see a little bit into each fighter pretty good. I think you got to see a lot into Lisa Ellis. We heard a lot about her home life and stuff. Jessica there kind of disclosing a little bit about how she spent most of her childhood being bullied. I think that bullying is something that's too commonly swept under the rug and not talked about. And I think that it's definitely something that is a major issue. You know, you've got too many – I think just this past week I read a story about a 10- or 11-year-old kid who killed himself because he couldn't take the bullying anymore. And I think that you're never going to stop bullying. They're always going to be there. Bullies are always going to be there. You're always going to have bad parents. You're always going to have bad parenting, the lack of parenting that results in kids acting out and kids not having behavioral discipline. And I think that the only way to truly kind of grab a hold of bullying and bring it to a halt or at least control it a little bit is through giving your kids the opportunity to defend themselves. And there's no better way to do that than to put your kids in martial arts. I think that people need to shed the mindset that, you know, martial arts is just all about cage fighting, that martial arts is, you know, it's just all about people beating each other to death or whooping each other's asses, whatever it is. Martial arts is by far probably one of the most significant and foundational ways to establish loyalty, discipline, respect, and leadership in people, and especially in children. I think that if kids get into martial arts It will teach them things that they will probably not learn anywhere else. It will teach them a loyalty and a discipline and respect that they, that otherwise could not be anywhere nearly duplicated. And I think that's definitely something that people should be aware of, you know. And there's so many different forms of martial arts. I know I'm going off a little bit here, but this, I'm incredibly passionate about this subject, and it's just, you know, it's tough to watch kids be bullied, especially kids that don't know how to defend themselves, you know. Get your kids into martial arts. Allow them the opportunity. There are so many different forms of martial arts. There are forms of martial arts that in no way teach attacking. Krav Maga. I always say it wrong. I know a young, some friends of mine have a young boy. He's about 6 or 7 years old, and he spent about 3 years in Krav Maga. It's not at all an attacking form of martial art. It is simply a self-defense and responsive martial art. It just teaches you to respond if being attacked, how to stop an attack, and then be done with it. It's not teaching you how to attack people. And I think there's just so many opportunities for kids to get involved that you absolutely must get your kids involved in it and give them the opportunity to do that. Now, with that said, Jessica disclosed just a lot about how she was bullied growing up, and I think I think this season, above every other season that I've seen, and I've only ever watched 3 or 4 seasons entirely, is that we're getting to see more into the fighters' personalities and into their lives. And I think that that's really cool, because I think everyone already knows who these fighters are for the most part. So it's cool to kind of get to see, not have to learn who they are as a fighter, but learn who they are kind of a little bit as a person. I think that is one of the really awesome things that is separating this season from the others thus far. And then Lisa, obviously Lisa being a new mom, you know, she's got an eight or nine month old baby. Her full heart and mind were never really here on this season, and I feel so sad that that's kind of, you saw that in the fight. I just don't think she was ready for that fight. I don't think she wanted to be in that fight, and I think that she gave up the choke. I think that when Jessica took her back, I think that she let Jessica ease into the choke, gave her the choke, and didn't really fight it. You know, Jessica sank it in, and Lisa tapped, and you know, Dana said that, and I kind of agreed, is I just don't think that Lisa wanted to be in that fight. I just think that her heart is at home, and there's nothing wrong with that. As I've said on Twitter, and I say over and over and over, I got no higher respect than for fighter moms. I think it takes a lot as your average person, as a guy, as a woman, no matter who you are, to take on this lifestyle of being an MMA fighter. It's more than a job. It's more than just your career that you check in from 9 to 5. It's your life. It really is your lifestyle. And I think that, fighter moms have so much more to sacrifice by being in this, and especially in a situation like that where you're going away for a significant amount of time. Now, with that said, do I think that she should have been there? Unfortunately, maybe not. I think that maybe she should have rethought doing the show this early into her child's life, maybe given a little bit more time. But at the same time, you know, it was cool to see her there. She's obviously been somebody who's very important to the female sport. Obviously, she was part of it's called the most bloody fight in women's MMA history, if I'm not mistaken. The fight with her and Jessica at World Series of Fight. I'm sorry, not World Series of Fighting. Invicta won for the atomweight. They were fighting at atomweight that time. And that's the last time she's fought. That's the last time that Jessica has. Oh, no, I'm sorry, it's not. She fought somebody else after that. My mistake. But anyways, it was a good fight for Jessica Penny, and look forward to seeing more stuff from her. Obviously, next is Angela Hill versus Carla Esparza, the number one pick. So, so far, Team Pettis is 3-0. Other than that, extracurricular activities, Team Melinda has decided it'd be funny to take a pair of gigantic granny panties and stick them on the panty wall in Team Pettis' room. The Team Pettis fighters have created a panty wall where each of them stick a worn pair of panties up on the wall, and the girls on Team Melinda thought it'd be funny to put some granny panties on that wall, which it was kind of funny. And Team Pettis then proceeded to take the panties down and stretch them across Gilbert Melendez's face back into the Team Melendez room. So it was kind of cool. It's cool to see these fighters on the different teams kind of having some fun, getting along, and there not being so much drama. And with that, I transition into 100% of the drama coming from one single person, and I will give you one guess at who that is, Spencer.
Heather Jo Clark.
Heather Jo Clark, indeed. This girl is causing some major, and I'm talking forever here, and I haven't given you opportunity to jump in. If you got something you want to say, jump in at any time. But Heather Jo Clark has by far been causing all of the drama and really just making people not like her, her own teammates not liking her. And I think that this, I'm not going to say this was a surprise. I think that probably you could have expected this. I probably could have put money down on that. But, I mean, I don't, you know, she seems, and Heather's a solid fighter, somebody we've had on the show. I think we had her on in the Full Guard Fight Radio days. She's just one of those people, those personalities that likes to get under people's skin. She likes to really eat away at people and then gets offended and pissed off when people are short with her or have an attitude with her. So with someone like that, there's just really no way to win with them. And unfortunately, that seems to be what's happening only three episodes in. But here's the last thing I'll say about this episode. First of all, I'm loving the season so far. Three great episodes. I don't think Dana's liked it so far. You know that look on Dana's face when a fight doesn't get finished. He looks like he's just disgusted with the fighters if they go to decision, which, you know, I mean, it's part of the sport. You know, people want to see a finish, but sometimes decisions happen, and that's just part of the sport, and Dana just needs to suck it up. But my biggest problem, man, is that you have Lisa Ellis, Jessica Penny, who have fought each other at 105, and neither one of them stepped on the scale at 115. Jessica, obviously, at 115.5 and Lisa at 116. And while that's something minute and almost not irrelevant, it bothers me. It bothers me, indeed.
Matthew, like I said, I haven't seen the episode yet, but I understand where you're coming from. But, I mean, they're in that house, so I think it's harder to watch their weight as opposed to, like, a regular training camp. But when I see it, maybe I'll comment on it next week. But I mean, that's as far as the house rules go. That's still making weight, correct?
Yeah, I think so. I think you've got to be it's a very small window, but you have to be within a certain poundage of the 115. And I think as long as they're within like a pound or two of each other, then that's all that matters. But still, man, come on. You know, you're professionals. You're at the biggest stage in the sport. Be on weight. I don't want to hear any excuses about that. I get what you're saying about the house, actually, because I thought that. That's why I was going to tweet something out, like, seriously, these girls fought at 105 and they can't make 115. But I took into account that, yes, they are in the house and things are different. But there's no – you're not doing anything else. You're training all day, every day. You're just going back to the house. You're sitting there. I think the temptation for the food, obviously, we've seen Felice loves to eat. Seems that she – where she's always making something to eat, and it's there, and I think that, you know, obviously the temptations are there. You got nothing else to do, right? You can't reach out, you can't contact the outside world, you can't talk to anybody or outside of that house. But I think with the amount of training they're doing and the fact that their focus is 100% on their fights and on their training, I think there's no reason not to be walking pretty close to weight and being able to cut down to that 115 on the day of the fights. But you are absolutely correct that house rules, they are within house rules, and I'm just splitting hairs. So anyway, I just think for two, you know, these girls fought at 105. How can they not make 115? I don't know. Anyways, all right. Well, listen, I want to say thanks to Andrea Lee and Derek Maiman for being on the show tonight. Great interviews by both of those fighters, and we wish them the best in their upcoming fights. This is obviously, you know, with Invicta announcing their upcoming card, Invicta 9, I think we, after the greatness that was our Invicta FC 8 episode, I think we only have one choice but to do an Invicta FC 9 episode. So we will start kind of working that out and putting that together. Other than that, this has been Cage Zombies Radio. Actually, you know what? Before we hit that outro, let's just run one sponsor real quick because I didn't get a chance to run them tonight. Real quick, let's do this.
Pro-Am Championship Belts, who have the highest quality championship belt with the lowest prices. Replace those old trophies with stock belts on hand that they can customize for as low as $30.
doubt.
Any occasion, celebrations, awards, championships, fantasy leagues, gifts, plus wrestling, mixed martial arts, boxing. If you need championship belts, check them out. Pro-Am Championship Belts, ProAmBelts.com. Look them up on Facebook, Pro-Am Belts. Trust me, nothing says cool like Pro-Am Championship Belts.
Right on. So this has been Cage Zombies Radio. We'll see you guys next Thursday. Oh, wait. I am now at the MMA Matthew. Spencer's at Pablo underscore Diablo underscore Kirksey, I think. I don't know. Anyways, Cage Zombies Radio. Cage Zombies Radio. We'll see you guys. We'll see you guys next Thursday.
What have you done, Derek? Nothing. You've done nothing. Nothing.